Good to be in God's house with God's people, isn't it? Luke chapter 12, verse 51. Jesus here says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division." Now I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I want us to look at verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to try to be fresh with something here this morning. In other words, I don't want to give you something that we've looked at recently, but I have to admit to you, Wednesday night we started talking about this a little bit, this topic of peace on earth. Peace on earth. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Lord, bless your word today. Thank you for it. May the Holy Spirit give me power and grace and forgive me of my sins, dear Lord Jesus. Wash me in your blood. Have your way in this time together. May every person leave out of here refreshed from the word of God. And Lord, if someone's lost today, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict them and draw them. And God, those of us who know you, I pray that we draw closer to you. And God, this would be a time that we become more like Jesus Christ. And may you be pleased with our life. Again, we ask for your blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. We are living in a tumultuous time, are we not? And you could call this past year just about anything but peaceful. You could call this past year just about anything but peaceful. And I personally believe, and I don't mean to be a downer here, but I personally believe that there's a good possibility that we're heading into darker days. God has never promised his people that they would escape difficult days. God has never promised his people that they would escape difficult days. God's children are not exempt from war. They're not exempt from sickness. They're not exempt from strife. When the bombs fell on Europe in World War II, they fell on lost people and they fell on saved people, didn't they? And persecution is not at all uncommon in Christian history. Many Christians have been harassed. Many Christians have been jailed. Many Christians have even been martyred for their faith. Yet for some odd reason, a lot of people, a lot of Christians even, think that we'll somehow be spared trouble. But Jesus told us what we should expect in this world. He said these things, this is in John chapter 16, and I'm not going to turn there, but if you want to look at it later, you can. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He told his disciples, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also." That's John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. I just want to tell you today that truth causes division. Amen. Truth causes division. The Bible is a much loved book, and it's also a much hated book. Sure. Truth causes division. Darkness, and it seems like in the day in which we live, darkness and evil are coming in like a flood. Insanity, I call it insanity. That's the nicest thing I can call it. Insanity seems to be the order of the day. The things that people come up with and want you to accept are insane. We're being told today that good is evil and that evil is good. And we are expected to believe that and promote that. Yet the angels proclaimed at Christ's birth, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, in all of the trouble today, and we're not the first people to ever have trouble. I hope you know that. There's been a lot of trouble over the years, hasn't it? We're not the first. Listen, are we not a blessed people that nobody's ever dropped bombs on us? We don't know what it is to run from our home and go into a shelter and come back up out of the shelter to see our home laying in rubble. God has blessed us as a nation. But I'm here to tell you that even in this troublous time that we live in, peace is obtainable. Peace is obtainable. But it's a spiritual peace. It's a spiritual peace. It's an inner peace. It's a eternal peace. A Christian should not be full of fear, but full of peace. Peace, the Bible says in Galatians, is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in you, and He is if you're saved, then one of the fruit that He produces is peace. Peace. A Christian should have peace, amen? He should have peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus gives an eternal peace, an inner peace, a true peace. The world gives a temporary peace. Every once in a while you'll see where two countries get together, especially in the Middle East, and they'll sign a peace treaty. And that may hold a week, or it may hold a month, or it may hold a year, but it doesn't hold forever, does it? The world doesn't give lasting peace. So I ask you a question today. Do you have His peace? Do you have His peace? Or are you full of fear? Are you full of fear? Christians shouldn't be full of fear, by the way. They should have the peace of God. Jesus Christ gives peace. That's true. But He also brings division, doesn't He? Jesus Christ also brings division because people hate the truth. Amen. Jesus Christ brings division because people hate the truth. And He brings division because people hate the light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And Jesus brings this word, and Jesus bring light to the world, and the world doesn't like. The world's like a cockroach. When you shine the light, it goes to hide, doesn't it? Amen. The world doesn't like the light put on their sin. They want to hide it. They don't want it exposed. He brings division because He is the light. He brings division because He is the truth. He also brings division because of His authority. He brings division because of His authority. Mankind just, as one old preacher used to say, he said, man just doesn't like God to be the boss. But I'm here to tell you today that God is the boss. And He brings division because they hate His authority. He is Lord. They hate His authority. They say in their heart, I'll not have this man reign over me. Our text there in Luke says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I just have three simple points here this morning. Number one, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. We don't have anything to glory in, do we? Glory to God in the highest. God gets the glory, doesn't he? God gets the glory. We don't have anything to glory in. The Bible says that God was manifest in the flesh. The Bible tells us that the living Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says this, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I want to tell you today that God gets the glory. And one of the reasons that God gets the glory is He's the giver of salvation. Yes. You didn't merit your salvation. You didn't do anything to earn your salvation. And not only is God the giver of salvation, He's the Savior Himself. He's the gift and the giver. God is the giver of salvation. People are much confused about what it means to be a Christian, aren't they? I was talking to a fellow recently and I said, "Well, tell me about when you got saved." And I don't think he ever told me when he got saved. He told me about how he met his wife and how they started going to church. And how they did this and how they did that. But I don't think he ever told me how he got saved. I think there's a lot of people like that. They've come into the church. They've come in some other way. They think they're in the way, but they're not. They're like Jesus said, they've come in over the wall. There's only one way in there, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven. You can't be a Christian. You can't know His peace without knowing Jesus Christ. You say, "I'm a Baptist." That won't save you. I'm glad you're a Baptist, but that won't save you. You say, "My dad was a preacher. I've heard all this stuff." That won't save you. You say, "I've been a member of that church since I was a little girl." That won't save you. God gets the glory, doesn't He?
Amen.
Not man. Man doesn't get the glory. Man, we're like the hymn writer said, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling."
Amen.
There's nothing we can add, nothing we can bring. You can't do it. I can't do it. God gets the glory. Glory to God in the highest.
Woo.
Glory to God in the highest. Is that right? Secondly, peace on earth. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Now, I've got to tell you, there hasn't been peace on earth since Adam fell. there has not been peace on earth as far as the earth's concerned since Adam fell. There's been a steady stream of murder. There's been a steady stream of war. There's been a steady stream of fighting since Cain killed Abel. Yet Christ came to this earth to bring peace, didn't He? Spurgeon said this. He said I like this quote. He said His swaddling clothes was a white flag of peace. Isn't that pretty? His swaddling clothes was a white flag of peace. Jesus Christ came to earth to bring peace. You say, "Well, preacher, you just said there's not peace." Yeah, there is. It's in my heart. And if you know Him, it's in your heart. It's a peace that the world cannot give, isn't it? It's a peace that the world cannot take away, by the way. He came to this earth to give us peace with God, didn't He? He came to earth to give us peace with God. He came to earth to give us peace in our hearts. He came to give us peace with one another. And His peace is no temporal peace. His peace is no temporal peace. The world only offers temporal peace, doesn't it? It lasts maybe just a little while. But His peace is an eternal peace. He's made peace, the Bible says, through the blood of His cross. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. His gospel is called the gospel of peace. The problem today is we've told a lot of people peace, peace, when there is no peace. It is the peace that he brings is a peace between a fallen, rebellious sinner and a benevolent God. The peace that he brings is between a fallen sinner, a rebellious fallen sinner, and a benevolent God. And he's coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he comes, he will set up, I believe, a literal kingdom, and he will reign in peace. He's coming again. Are you looking for it? Do you believe he's coming back? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, if you would. And look at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now skip down to verse 8. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I want to tell you today that peace is obtainable, and you can have peace while on this earth, and you can have peace in your heart. Jesus can give you peace, can't he? He can give you peace. When all the world is raging and everything's crazy and everything's turned upside down, so to speak, the political world's turned upside down, the culture's turned upside down, everything is messed up, but you can lay your head down and have peace with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? You can have peace. You can say everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. For one thing, this world is not my home. I'm going to a better place. I'm going to a place whose builder and maker is God. I'm going to a better place. This place is the devil's place, isn't it? This place is the devil's place. It's going to go. It's going to burn up. The Bible says all these people that's recycling and saving and conserving and hugging trees, it's all going to burn up. I hate to tell them. I really do. I hate to tell them. And I'm for taking care of our planet, but it's all going to burn up. It's like the Bible says, Brother Carl, it's going to melt with a fervent heat, isn't it? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Goodwill toward men. That's my last point. Goodwill toward men. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God has goodwill toward men? Goodwill toward men. I hope you do. I'm sure you understand it was not our goodwill toward God. We didn't have any goodwill toward God. You say, oh, preacher, I was a pretty good kid. No, you wasn't. I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. Not according to the Bible, you're not. Now, you might be nicer than some other guy. You're probably nicer than me. But that's not what the standard is it? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's like J. Vernon McGee used to give the illustration. He lived out in California, and he said there was a big boat dock there, and as little boys, we'd run out that boat dock and jump off into the ocean. And he'd say, we're trying to reach Catalina Island. I don't know how far Catalina Island is off of the coast there, but evidently it's far enough that you can't get there by jumping. J. Vernon McGee said, some of us made it further than some of the others, but none of us made it.
Right.
And that's the way it is as far as sin's concerned. Some of us are worse than others, but all of us are sinners. And none of us are going to make it. We're all going to come short, aren't we, of the glory of God. So it's goodwill toward men. We merited no favor from God. We merited no favor from God. Our carnal mind, the Bible says, listen, our carnal mind was at enmity with God. That's what the Bible says. We were children of disobedience, walking according to the prince and power of the air. Jesus described us as this: we love darkness rather than light. Before a person's a Christian, before a person is saved, they think, you know what? I'm my own boss. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know that? Maybe I better stop here and drive that point home a little bit.
Yes.
Do you understand before a person's saved, they think I'm my own boss?
Yes.
John Newton, the slave trader, in one of his hymns said it this way: in evil long I took delight, unawed by shame and fear, till a new object caught my sight and stopped my wild career. Has Jesus Christ changed your life? We're like the poet. You know, I was reading this poem this morning. It's a wicked thought. But we were like this. He said, I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. In other words, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, I got news for you. If you ever trust Jesus Christ, he's going to tell you what to do. Look again at Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for good people.
No.
I misquoted that, didn't I? I'm sorry. Christ died for nice people. It's not what it says, is it? Let's read it. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. It's the sick that need a physician, isn't it? It's sinners that need a Savior. He died for the ungodly. In order for someone to be saved, they're going to have to take their place with the ungodly. We're going to have to say, like the hymn writer, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. We're just like that dying thief, aren't we? You say, I don't see myself like that, preacher. Well, I pray the Holy Ghost would show you that you are like that.
Amen.
Because we're no good sinners. And if you haven't done it, you've thought it.
Yep.
How about that? I'm glad God has goodwill toward men, aren't you? I'm glad God has goodwill toward men. How do we know that God has goodwill toward men? Well, I can tell you one thing. You can look at the God-man, the very Son of God, lying in a manger and see that God has goodwill toward men. The world ignored Christ at his birth. They had no room for him, did they? The world rejected him in his life. And the world despised him at his death. How do you know that God has goodwill toward men? Because he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
He has goodwill toward men. How do we know that God has goodwill toward men? Look to the cross.
Amen.
You'll see that God has goodwill toward men when you look at the cross. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know God has goodwill toward men, don't you? Now take your Bible and turn to Titus chapter 3, please. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. I want you to read with me, starting in verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I'm glad it doesn't stop there. It says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which was shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How do I know that God has goodwill toward men? Because of the kindness and love of God, that he made a way for me. It's not by works of righteousness, is it? If you want to see the effects of sin, look to the cross. If you want to see the love of God, look to the cross. Look to the cross. We sing that hymn, Blessed Redeemer, Precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Do you know Him today? Do you know Jesus Christ? Is He your peace? Listen, the world we live in, it's so easy to take your eyes off Jesus Christ and look around and lose your peace. It's very easy to do that. It's very easy to look at all the circumstances of life. It's very easy to look at all the problems in the world. It's very easy to think about all the things that's going on in our country, and you can lose your peace. But I don't think God wants us to do that, do you? I think He wants us to rest in Him. I think He gives us a peace. He gives us a peace. Have you been renewed by the Holy Ghost? Notice what it says in verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Christian, are you so driven by this world? Are you so influenced of this world that you've lost your peace? That you've lost your peace? I've told people this. I've told this many times. I'll tell you again, it might be best for you to turn the news off and read your Bible or something. It might be the best thing you can do is turn the news off a little bit and pray. Now, I understand we have to know what's going on. I understand you have to know the current events. You have to kind of know what's going on. You don't want to get in your car and find out we're having a nuclear war or something. But at the same time, you can be overwhelmed by that stuff, can't you? Amen. If you want to have the peace of God, you're going to have to look to Him. He's the one that gives us peace, isn't He? He's the one that gives us peace. He's the one. The angels sung that night when they appeared to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. He gets all the glory, doesn't He? He gets all the glory. You and I have nothing to glory in. Have nothing to glory in. And He's the one that gives us peace. He gives us peace. I know what it is not to have peace. I know what it is not to have peace, and I know what it is to have peace. I hope that's your testimony today. I hope if I went to one of you and said, tell me about when you saved, you wouldn't tell me about how you joined the church and how you started coming to this church and how you did this and how you did that. I'm hoping you'd say, I'm saved by the blood of Christ. I was I was saved when I was 8 or 10, or I can't remember when I was saved. I was saved when I was a kid. God saved me, changed my life, and I've been living for Christ. I hope you can give me some kind of testimony. Better than I just started coming to church. Like the old preacher said, you know, coming to church don't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. I'm glad you're at church and I'm glad you go to church, but that's not what saves us, is it?
Amen.
That's not what saves us. He gives us peace. This time of the year, do me a favor. Instead of thinking about all the problems, think about our Savior. Instead of focusing on all the trouble in the world, focus on what a great God we have and how He has goodwill toward us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a God who's got goodwill toward us?
Yes. Amen.
Listen, I've never met a president. I've never even met the governor. But I know the God of the universe. And not only that, He has goodwill toward me. Goodwill toward men. Aren't you glad for such a great Savior? I'm glad for knowing Jesus Christ.